This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Are you guys still on the Taylor Swift train? Do you guys enjoy Taylor Swift? I know Leah does, but I think, Brad, you like him too. Is the Annie Fry Show pro Taylor Swift? I can't remember.
I could not be more indifferent towards Taylor Swift. Like, I hear her music, and it's just like, it is what it is.
I think Annie Fry herself enjoys Taylor Swift music, but it's the conversation about her as a cultural phenomenon versus the music are almost two completely different things.
Oh, that's a very sophisticated way of looking at it, Ryan. I know. I like that.
I know Annie likes her as a businesswoman. She thinks what she's accomplished as a businesswoman is pretty impressive. And I don't think you can argue against that.
Yeah, no, I guess that's true. So she's got that new album out, The Tortured Poets Department. And the title itself makes me want to hate it immediately. Like, this is going to be so lame.
Yeah.
How old is she? Is she like 35, maybe something like that?
She's in her 30s.
In that zone. I was thinking early 30s. I don't know, though.
All right, let me see. Taylor Swift.
There's no way the internet has that answer.
34.
34.
Oh, hey, lo and behold.
She's 34. Just turned 34 a half a year ago.
Mid-30s.
All right, so she's mid-30s. At what point do you grow up and you're like, okay, Tortured Poets Department? All right, you're 34. You got to stop talking like you're 16 at some point in your life.
I think
on your notebooks.
I think you keep doing it as long as it's paying the bills.
No, she stops at 35. This is the last one. The next one's got to be called 401k.
Growing up, yeah.
Talks about paying bills and the weather changing, hurting her bones.
IRA versus 401k. Go. That's the name of the
grown up stuff. Oh, that would be fantastic. I would love to see that. And then all of the young Swifties would completely reject her. She doesn't talk to us anymore. But at some point, you got to grow up. So her album is just like shattering records, isn't it? Like, people are just buying it left and right. I was looking at this one article on Billboard with 700,000 copies sold on vinyl in its first 3 days. It breaks Swift's own records of the biggest sales week for a vinyl album since 1991. How do these kids even know what vinyl is, the ones that are buying?
Oh, vinyl's back.
It's bigger than CDs now for the first time this year or last year. Vinyl sales outpace CDs. Yeah.
So like this particular album, I believe, is clear. So like if you go to Target and you buy the album, the record itself is clear. It's
tortured poets. It's transparent, just like her.
Oh my God.
You understand now? You understand.
I get it. Yeah. I see what you're doing.
It's you hold it up to a mirror and you look in and you see your own tortured poem.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. I have to try that tonight, right?
So deep. So deep.
Look, I can see myself, but just a little bit less. It's kind of like a wavy version
Mother
of me.
Mother is so meta.
What about all of her fans that really can't take any criticism? Did you see that there was a magazine that was posting what they wanted to do, their honest review on the album, and they would not put the reviewer's name on there because they understood the Swift fans would send death threats to this person for not giving it a positive review?
I retract my previous statements. Taylor Swift is a national treasure.
Paste magazine. Editor's note, there's no byline on this review due to how in 2019, when Paste reviewed Lover, the writer was sent threats of violence from readers who disagreed with the work. We care more about the safety of our staff than the name attached to an article.
Paste magazine?
Paste.
Okay. Paste. That person's got to be happy somebody was paying attention.
Yeah. It worked, I guess, for Paste, right?
Hey. Man, music is a matter of taste. It's a matter of taste. If somebody doesn't like the music that you like, okay, let them go. Let them not like it. You don't have to force somebody. It doesn't diminish your value in any way if somebody doesn't like the music that you like.
I disagree. Yeah. If you guys don't like Disturbed, then we have to fight.
But I do like Disturbed.
Oh, I was just kidding. Sorry.
Blur. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some presidents of the United States of America. Oh. You only listen to like
Papa
90s
Roach.
Albums.
They might be giants.
Uncle Cracker.
Man, and when you're really down, Collective Soul.
Soundgarden.
Yeah. Oh, Soundgarden, my man. I looked at the album cover, and it's Taylor Swift, and she's kind of like in this Renaissance kind of mode where she's kind of like twisted with her arm up on her chin and one arm over. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking again, red flag, son. Any girl that takes pictures like this on Instagram, you stay away from.
You know what, though? Any girl that your son is ever going to date is going to have those pictures by then. So you might have to change those standards because they're all going to be. In fact, they might have that exact pose because Taylor Swift did it.
Oh, please. No, thanks. You see, I have a daughter who's too young to understand all of this stuff. I don't think Taylor Swift's still going to be this popular. Like, you think she'll be able to sustain her popularity for another 10 years or 15 years in this space?
Only if she opens a theme park. She needs to open a theme park right now and become the next Dolly Parton.
I think it depends on how well 401k does whenever she releases that
right.
one.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So I haven't heard any song on this album, and I was hoping that you might have an example of it so we can listen to it together.
I got about a minute of Fortnite, which features Post Malone.
Like the video game?
No. No, it's the song.
No. I was supposed to be sent away, but they forgot to come and get me. I was a functioning alcoholic till nobody noticed my new aesthetic.
Basically, it sounds like all their other music with more reverb. Is that essentially it?
Yeah, it didn't really sound like anything I've never heard before.
What I've heard of this is most of the album is kind of slow like this one is. There's only like one or two upbeat songs in it.
So it's like a, I don't know, a high school dance.
I like the idea that she would be doing all songs based on video games. Like that was Fortnite. Then next one's Super Smash Brothers.
She got Call of Duty. Mario
Call of Duty. Excitebike. Like, do some real old Mario. Days, too. Metroid. Paper Boy.
Frogger.
Donkey Kong, yeah. Frogger.
She should just redo that album that was done in that vein. I can't remember the name of it. It was... there was an album done in about 1981 that if I look up the name of it, people listening to this radio station go, oh, I know that. Somebody's going to put it in the chat. It was all video games from like 1981.
Like Olivia Newton-John.
Pac-Man Fever. Pac-Man Fever. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
Pac-Man Fever.
Yep, you got it.
Was that her that did that, or was it?
No, that up? The band was called Buckner and Garcia. And that's all they ever did.
It is a deep cut.
It's a super deep cut, but I guarantee there are people in this listening audience who know exactly what I'm talking about.
Now, stop me if I'm wrong. Maybe this is a Simpsons gag, but did they play that at the Super Bowl? Like, was that live performed one year?
It could be.
At a halftime show? Pac-Man Fever?
Maybe, like, as part of an ensemble or something?
What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Didn't Olivia Newton-John do a video game song? I'm getting it mixed up.
Now I don't know. You're outside of my territory.
All right. So mostly her fans are like teenagers, right? That's like a big part of her fan base. And
I think her fan base is kind of growing up with her. I think that a couple of the people around here are Gen Zers, but Gen Z's actually not teenagers anymore. They're starting out on their life and starting on their own. So you're getting like mid to early 20s into the 30s.
So part of the lyrics, recovering alcoholic, you think she's supporting sobriety? That's become more popular these days, by the way.
Yes.
Is that a possibility?
Was she an alcoholic?
I don't know. I cannot speak with authority on that.
Does she always sing about herself, though? Is that every song is her? Like, or does she have another voice she sings as at times? Or is it just like every album, every song of everything in her catalog is all about her?
I mean, that's great. I great question, because I have no idea. I would think that it's probably all written from her perspective. I would love if she was writing from like different characters of history perspective or something. Like, here's one from Isaac Newton.
John Wilkes Booth.
yeah. I'd listen to that. That sounds interesting to me. But if you're just writing songs about breaking up and stuff like that, I don't know. It's not close.
Leah says Folklore and Evermore were not about her.
Oh, okay. Allegedly. But, you know, with the amount of money she has, like, there's going to be some point where the songs are going to be unrelated to the regular people. Like, man, don't you just hate it when your million-dollar yacht breaks down, guys? Ugh. It's like, I just can't stand it when your private jet has to refuel on a tarmac and you have to wait. Ugh. Guys, don't you know how just terrible this is? There's going to be a point where people realize that they're not even in the same world she is in, but she is definitely going to write songs as if she is.
Well, she
and
needs
take
to just
advantage of that.
Keep doing public relationships, because then everybody can go, oh, I relate, because they see the story playing out.
Yeah, but I don't know. Living in a different relationship than somebody, or different relationship, different world than somebody has, doesn't mean that you can't relate to them. I mean, look at how people relate to Donald Trump and Donald Trump relates to people. Nobody has a solid gold penthouse apartment like Donald Trump, but he's able to, like, if you look at him go out to that bodega or whatever, he's able to meet people where they're at, and he gets what they get. Ugh. He understands them, and they understand him. And so
I'm making like three times the amount of minimum wage, and I can't afford a solid gold penthouse. What is wrong with people?
I disagree with you, Brad and Ryan, maybe. I want to be able to, every time somebody makes a stupid play, if a Cardinal strikes out, I want to be able to quote their salary at them and say, this is why you suck.
Like, Ryan, you could do that on Twitter.
I will.
Just at them on Twitter. It's like, you make this much per swing, and you gave me three that didn't touch the ball.
Exactly. I want to be able to do that.
Hey, just take time and effort, man.
Okay, I will.
Is she still dating the Kelsey guy, you think?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely still together.
Still strong. Yeah. Are they married yet?
No, not yet.
That's when things change with the albums, right?
Maybe.
The 401ks and the topics. They get married. She starts singing about kids. That would be the next
receding
stage in her
hairlines.
Life, receding hairlines, sure. Mm-hmm. Menopause. Like, what would be next? Like, and this is way down the line. Something like
that. Yeah. You know what that song is actually about? Is premenopause. Oh, really? I didn't know.
Oh,
that.
I get it now.
Yeah.
Start those rumors online. You know what this album is really about?
It's about hormone replacement therapy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So overall, the song Taylor Swift music doesn't really resonate with me, honestly. I listen to it and it's like, it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall. It's a bunch of random phrases that sound nice together that don't mean anything to me. And the music is just very, I don't know, I don't want to say generic, but she's a very talented singer, but none of it is like exciting or good to me. So I just don't see the reason why people go bananas for it.
I have something that will resonate with you. Now, those are lyrics.
I'm going out of my mind.
Yeah, I got Pac-Man fever. I'm going out of my mind.
I think the most, like, I don't know, video game-ish best song ever, Pinball Wizard.
No argument there.
Does that count as a video game?
That's
tough. Stand-up pinball
machine? Yeah, I know.
Machine?
It was as of its time.
You're right.
That was pretty good.
You're right. It's a great album.
Pinball Wizard was good. All right, you're going to post this to the comment section of the video. People can comment the best video game song.
I think that we need to hear that, yes.
Yeah. All right. I would take some recommendations. I'd be curious if someone's got a better one than Pinball Wizard.
It's a weird category, video game songs, because they do exist. But
well, I mean, and we're talking about songs about video games, yes. Not songs from video games.
Correct.
Right.
Songs from video games. There are some hidden gems in some of
bangers.
These games. Oh my gosh. You listen to
Legend
like, wow,
of
this
Zelda.
Is really good.
Ooh, yeah.
The Zelda theme song. You can't get any
That's
better than
song.
That.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
Oh man. So we will look at some of those comments. I'm drawing blanks. I can't think of too many songs about video games that are out there, but I'm sure people in the comment section will find some. Pac-Man Fever is a good one. Pinball Wizard. That's on the borderline. Because I don't know, I've never thought of pinball machines as video games, honestly. They're more mechanical than video to me. But what person didn't have Windows 95 and the best game ever on it was the pinball game on it?
Yeah.
Honestly. All right. Can I bring up the Trump trial coming up after the break?
Sure.
It feels like the prosecutor's using the Uno reverse card on Donald Trump here and how I think this is going to really backfire for them. And what an upside down world we live in. When St. Louis sweetheart Michael Avenatti calls Trump a victim of the system. And did you see who is getting Republican donors? Senator John Fetterman. Republicans are giving him money. What is this upside down world we're living in? I'm Ryan Rickard, filling in for Andy Fry, 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Why doesn't Taylor Swift do this music instead?
It's a great question. I'll ask her.
I think there's an Uno reverse card moment here where the prosecutor in the Trump case said, hey, Trump, you're actually the one participating in election interference. After Trump said, no, you're the one that is actually participating in election interference. So have you been following this trial closely? And there was something I heard on Brian Kilmeade's show before this show here with Annie Fry that really was interesting to me. And the idea was when the trial is being covered, it's from the prosecutor's perspective, which the media is eating up, meaning they're not giving the other side of the trial on this. For the most part, they are saying that the, you know, Trump has the audacity to break the gag order, to talk in his own defense when he's outside of the trial. And now they're saying the only thing that real journalists should do is only cover what the prosecutor says Trump has done, not his defense. And that was a really interesting point, because a lot of the major news networks is exactly how they're covering it. They're like, here's what happened today from the perspective of the prosecutor. But going back to the Uno reverse card, prosecutor says Trump is actually the one who participated in election interference. And I've seen a couple of different articles. Politico did one. I think I saw the AP essentially bring up this point. And the point being that they don't know if jurors are going to buy that, as in saying that, you know, trying to put hush money to a person is akin to election interference. Because if that's the threshold that they're trying to put for election interference, I would say 99.9% of all politicians in the history of politics have then participated in what they would define election interference that would be criminal.
Yeah, you're right about the reverse card, because it's putting everybody in a weird situation where you have the prosecution saying to the Trump team, hey, you engaged in election interference by paying this money to your lawyer, and it, you know, this was campaign funds and blah, 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 stuff that's so high level that no American really cares that much. Go ahead.
Like, my understanding is that had they recorded it in their books a little differently, then there wouldn't be any charges.
It wouldn't even be a charge.
Yeah, so, like, what they're trying to say is a felony. 34 of them, is it? They're saying that they're bookkeeping errors and that you deserve 34 felonies for it, which I think is why the prosecution is out over their skis on this one. But
regardless, what they're doing is trying to say, Donald Trump, you interfered with the election in doing this.
Yeah.
And the defense is saying, well, this is normal. If this is election interference,
yeah,
we call this democracy. This is what everybody does in trying to win a presidential election. But the opposite is also true. They're both having to both defend and turn the whole argument on their head, like you said, Ryan, with the reverse card. That then Trump is saying, while that is normal and not election interference, what you're doing is election interference by interfering with the current election, not 2016. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the prosecution is having to defend themselves on those grounds, although they're choosing not to. They're not really saying anything about that. They're letting the media sort of try to carry the water for them.
Well, if Ryan, if they're using the quote-unquote Uno reverse card, it actually means that Trump's words are hitting home, saying that this is election interference, because if it really wasn't and they weren't landing, they wouldn't need to address it at all. But the fact that they brought it up in the case means that maybe they're somewhere there getting traction.
Can a social media platform engage in election interference?
Well, it depends on what you mean by election interference, because yes, they can, like you and I can interfere with an election by stating our opinions about things. Like, we're interfering with the election by doing anything. The question is it illegal, right?
Right. Now, can a government agency engage in election interference?
Yes. I mean, again, is
by
it illegal?
Broadest, yeah. Right. Is it illegal? Okay. So this is the point I think would be good to make in something like this. When the prosecutor says that Donald Trump is engaging in election interference because he had information that he didn't want out there and he failed to disclose the information he didn't want out there, and that is, in fact, criminal, I would say that there are several examples of what we saw in that last election that are 10 times worse than the example the prosecution is bringing up in court against Donald Trump, maybe even 100 times worse, between, let's say, the FBI and social media agencies to try to hide information that was damaging to Joe Biden, which we're still seeing in a lot of cases that are damaging to Joe Biden, either with his son or daughter and some of the items around them, let it be a diary or let it be a laptop. I think if we go back to the election before that, the Hillary Clinton fake dossier and some of the money that went around and involved in that. Or how about this? What about just random people like George Soros throwing money into local elections like they saw in St. Louis with the prosecutor and using that as a way to say, well, you know, we're going to put people into office. And instead of changing the laws, we'll just get people in there that don't enforce the laws. And we're going to put our money towards that would, let's say, big campaign donors that give money to politicians also be engaged in the same, probably 10 or 100 times worse cases than what Donald Trump is being charged with. And here's one other thing I wanted to mention. Going back to the election between, let's see, the 2016 election, between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And there was that moment where Donald Trump was the nominee and it was the Republican convention. And you had Chris Christie up there in the lock her up moment where that brought a lot of eyes to like, oh boy, are you really saying you want to criminally charge your political opponents? And, you know, there was that moment during the debates where Donald Trump even said, yeah, because you'd be in jail. And now we're living in a time where the reverse card was played on him, where he is actually being prosecuted. And we saw the use of that basically reversed onto him after being an advocate for it. I think the point here is, and Donald Trump is right to bring this up, once you open up the floodgates, which he did, it's going to be used against you. Same thing happened when they changed the threshold of the vote. Harry Reid, and let's lower this threshold. And next thing you know, Mitch McConnell's out there saying this is going to come back and bite you one day. And it did come back and bite you. All the people that are prosecuting Donald Trump, and he's saying, guess what, everyone, we're going to come back with a vengeance. If this is the game you want to play, I don't doubt him. I doubt this is going to end with Donald Trump. I don't think that he is, you know, what some people look at as, you know, a dictator that needs to be taken down and, you know, out of American history this way. I think that this is just basically a floodgate that's going to open up basically every single person that may be deemed undesirable or may have interfered, quote unquote, to be treated the same way he's being treated. And they're not going to like it in the future when they are at the target of it.
Yeah. The problem that it's creating is that this has long been a drumbeat for the left, saying that they don't like the money. And I mean, the right too, but they don't like that rich people run the country, run the world and all this. Well, by using lawfare against your opposing political candidate, what you've done is opened Pandora's box, use the old expression, to where in the future, like you were saying, the only people that will be able to run for office are going to be mega wealthy people. It's already wealthy people. But you sometimes can find somebody who's risen through the ranks who isn't super wealthy, who's going to run for president. That will be gone. It will only be like the top 1% of 1% that will be able to run for office, because they'll know going in, I'm going to have to just deal with lawsuits.
Well, I mean, Ryan, you were talking about this. You said that this isn't going to end with Donald Trump. People on the left and in the media are already screaming that, look, if Donald Trump gets elected, he's going to weaponize the Justice Department to go after his political opponents, you know, like Joe Biden's doing right now. Like what's happening right now? That's what you're worried about?
So I mean, he's going to treat others like he's being treated.
Right. You all introduce this. Let's, you know, now you're going to roll with it, and now you're distressed about it. Give me a break.
It's a good point, because nobody is mentioning that. Anytime somebody says, well, Trump might do this or that, somebody has got to be right there going, like, in your ear, whether it's your producer or it's the devil, in your ear saying, you're doing this already.
Well, is it Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, accuse the other side of what you're doing? That's exactly what's, I mean, for Pete's sake, look at how they're acting with the border. They're like, oh, Republicans don't want to secure the border. The Republicans passed H.R. 2 almost a year ago, and it's been sitting in Chuck Schumer's desk drawer for that long, and he hasn't brought it up for a vote. But they want to come back, and they want to be like, but Republicans won't bring up the bipartisan Senate bill for a vote, because they already passed a bill.
You know, speaking of upside down world, when did Michael Avenatti, so I'm forgetting how to say his name.
I think it's
Avenatti.
I think it's pronounced Avenatti. Creepy porn lawyer.
Yes.
Yes. Creepy porn. Was that the Tucker Carlson?
That was Tucker, yeah.
calls Trump a victim of the system in interview from prison. What a great tagline. Interview from prison. Michael Avenatti calls Trump a victim of the system as part of the case. Who would have guessed that of all the people that would have came and maybe lent a point to the side of the Trump campaign and Trump as a defendant would be Michael Avenatti, St. Louis sweetheart.
Man.
Who would have thought? Who could guess?
I was listening to those comments, and we have them here if you want me to play them.
Yeah, let's hear one.
I think the case has a lot of problems. Now, that does not, I don't mean to suggest that that means that Trump will not be convicted, because I think he will be convicted. Because number one, he's a criminal defendant, and in our society, I don't believe the criminal defendants generally get a fair shake. In fact, I think that the percentage of convictions demonstrates that the deck is stacked decidedly against all criminal defendants, number one. Number two, I don't think that he can get a fair trial in New York. And to the people who claim that, in fact, he can get a fair trial in New York with a New York jury, I would ask them, if they were to go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow and find out that the case had been moved to Mississippi or Alabama, would they still think that the trial was going to be fair? And I think if they were being honest, they would answer no. So,
well, can I just say that doesn't sound like him? The voice does not match what I remember. Prison's changed him. Okay, so he's right on those things. And what's the change of heart from his side? Like, when did he start telling the truth?
I don't know that he's had a change of heart. I think he's kind of, in a way, pleading his own case. He's like, I'm actually not supposed to be in here. The criminal justice system is stacked against me. Donald Trump's going through the same thing that I went through. I think this is actually more of a defense of himself than it is of Donald Trump, and he's just using Trump to do it.
Wow. What did Tucker Carlson, what was the bottom scroll way they identified him again?
Creepy porn lawyer.
Creepy porn lawyer. He would say yes to every interview. Remember when he was on like every show every night?
Well, they were asking him to run for president.
I know. They loved him so much. Run for president, Avenatti. Did you see that Senator John Fetterman, Democrat, has been building a roster of Republican donors, according to The Intercept? And they're saying that since his stance, not only in the border, but pro-Israel stance, has then garnered people to give him money for his campaign. Where did that happen to Republicans backing John Fetterman? This started maybe a couple of months ago, I think, when he essentially stood with Israel and stood with the nonsense of, you know, hey, we shouldn't be supporting the squatters. We shouldn't be supporting lawlessness at the border. We shouldn't be supporting these things. He started talking some common sense things after, you know, being basically called the slob of the Senate. And now all of a sudden Republicans love him because he's on their side.
Well, I mean, he went after Bob Menendez, too. He said this guy shouldn't be in the Senate. He's one of the only Democrats that will go after another Democrat for acting corruptly, which actually is really refreshing. I mean, he's got basically the same standards. He's got standards that he'll go to, and it isn't party over everything. It's standards over party. And there's somebody in his party that had gold bars in his pockets, and he called him out for it and said he should step down while Republicans were sending George Santos out. And he's like, yeah, they're doing the right thing. We should do the right thing, too, and send Menendez out. But Chuck Schumer won't do it.
Yeah, Menendez. I thought his wife was implicated, too, in this.
Yes.
Too. Was that one of the latest ones?
Yeah, they were. And it was, I believe it was Egypt, but it was foreign countries influencing a United States senator.
Yeah, it was Egypt.
Oh, boy. So all of a sudden, here's the world we live in today. Michael Avenatti from prison supporting Donald Trump's case. And John Fetterman looks to be more Republican than Oz was in Pennsylvania. Now as a senator, maybe even as Republican as anyone else on some of these other stances. He's not up for re-election anytime soon, so he doesn't necessarily have to like give these stances for votes. It's not like it's an election year for him, so it doesn't actually benefit him in a way as a Democrat to do this. But maybe it resonates well in Pennsylvania, and maybe that's just his conscience speaking, and he's doing a good job with it.
I don't know why Republicans. Hey, look, I like what he's doing on Israel. I like some of the things he's saying. He's taking a hard stance. But it doesn't mean that Republicans need to start giving him money. You know, like I'm willing to bet that whoever runs against him in 2028 or 30 or whatever it is will also support Israel. Yeah. Like, I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. So I don't think you need
unless he flips parties.
Play both sides. Yeah, maybe there's something else at work here.
Right. Who knows? But either way, It's just one of those weird world situations we're in here today. All right. Well, that's fun. I know you got Fox News behind you, Ryan Wiggins. They've been basically covering the trial continuously.
Not really. Jason Chaffetz is up right now. I always love seeing guests that we just had on yesterday on Fox.
Oh, cool.
But no, right now it looks like they're more covering the protests.
So they're waiting for opportunities to cover it. Yeah.
The trial is almost like synopsis of the trial at the end of the day is the most important thing.
Got it. All right, you're listening to the Manny Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. Thanks for having me on again, and I always love the conversations when I get a chance to fill in here for Manny Fry. It's always great. And there's a couple of other stories that I thought were interesting, including one on X. Overall, Ryan Wiggins, do you still pay for the checkmark on X? I can't remember.
At the very beginning, I did because I thought it would be fun. And then I realized that it was not that fun. And paying money is not fun. So I stopped it.
Got it. I decided not to from the very beginning. And, you know, I still use it, but I mostly gather than I don't really use it in a commercial sense. So I don't feel the need to pay for it. But I understand why some people might find it attractive if they're creating content, for example. But either way, there's been a lot of changes on X after it switched over from Twitter. And one of the things that you notice, there's a few things. The community notes are great on X. If you see something that's brought up, you'll find sometimes there'll be a footnote on it that will give better context to what you're seeing. And they are sometimes comical in the way they call out the spin or the nonsense that is trying to be propagated to try to even the playing field. That's something you don't see really on any other social media platform, the way that X handles certain news stories. One of the other things that you'll notice is that there are some pretty explicit things that are posted on there. And a lot of it had to do with the realities of what's going on in the world when it comes to war. Sometimes you would see footage of Israel or Gaza. Sometimes you would see terrorists and how they operate. And there was one instance down in Australia a couple of weeks ago. There was that one terrible news story of a person that was going around stabbing people at a mall that was taken down. And then maybe a day or two later, there was a person that walked into a church, walked down the middle aisle to the front where you had the preacher, and I don't know what denomination it was, but essentially he pulls out a knife and just starts stabbing the guy in the middle of a church service. And I saw this video posted, very explicit. It's not like, so the camera's from the back of the church looking towards the front. And it's not like it was zoomed in and you can get a lot of detail with it, but you absolutely understand what's happening here. The person's getting attacked. Maybe the camera was so far away you couldn't actually see the weapon he was using unless you maybe had it on a full screen. But it just looked like a person attacked him. And then you later realized that this preacher was stabbed a couple of different times. Well, because of the way the laws are in Australia, they don't allow you to post things like that on social media platforms. In fact, in the past, people have gone to jail for posting things on social media, which is a very extreme way to handle things. So what we see now is that the social media, and this is from SBS, I guess it's a news agency. Social media platform X has been ordered to remove graphic content related to the Sydney church stabbing. Stabbing attack led to a riot outside the Christ of Good Shepherd Church. Lawyers argue X should be shielded, should shield the footage from all of its users, not just Australians. So the way the laws are written in that country is, you know, we don't want this propagated. This is, you know, not good. So we don't want it out there. Thus, if you're in Australia, you're not allowed to see this. Now they're arguing that, you know what, we have the opportunity as a country to say, this is bad for us, Australians. So we don't want anyone else to see it too. Elon Musk is saying, shove it. You know, we're not going to have to take what the laws are of Australia and then censor this for the rest of the world as if it didn't happen. They say that in general, Elon is better to see it if you want to see it and understand what the truth is, because then that way you can come to your own true opinions on things and get a better understanding of the world as opposed to someone censoring it and then you getting a half of an impression and then you basing your opinion on something that may not be the full truth. Overall, do you think Elon's doing it right? Do you think it's better just to put everything out there and let the person decide?
I understand privacy rights, especially if it's something that is really gruesome that happened to maybe your family member or something that you don't want out there. If it involves a minor, that also changes things. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about this situation, though, this was a public place, a public event. The person videotaping it had nothing to do with it. All these cases are different, but for the most part, I like that Elon and I like that whoever would run a social media platform would err on the side of as much open free speech dialogue as possible.
Yeah.
Because that has to be sort of the guiding light to what you're doing, because that's literally the business that you're in. So that needs to be first and foremost. Obviously, you're going to find cases where you go, yeah, that probably shouldn't be. But this, I don't think this is one of them.
Mm. You know, going back to that other story, the person that was jailed, this is 3 years ago. Australians could be jailed for 3 years for hateful social media posts, meaning things that are considered hate crimes. If you post something on social media that may show prejudice against race, religion, sexuality, or gender identity, you can go to jail for posting something like that on social media in Australia. So their threshold is like super low. They will punish you if you post something on social media. It's not just something that's a graphic stabbing, for example. Sorry, Brad, go on.
Well, what I was going to say is Elon Musk has been on record as saying that he will allow whatever on his platform that he can, as long as it's legal. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things this is an Australian law. So the question is should he follow Australian law in Australia, or was he just referring to what is legal in the United States when he says that? I mean, that's kind of where I'm curious about this. I don't like Australia's law, but I mean, if Elon Musk is saying he needs to follow the law, then.
Yeah. I have friends in Australia. They think we're nuts over here. So he I asked them what their impression of Americans are. One, they bring up the crazy food we eat. Number two, they bring up the guns. Those are the top two things that people from Australia think about Americans. And, you know, I asked them about their spiders and they don't care.
It's amazing how much water we have to carry for the world. I like the freedom things that we sort of believe in and then have exported just through media and communications that this is normal. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much we keep freedom in the world. And I'm not just talking about boots on the ground kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, ideologically,
yeah.
How much we impact. Because, yeah, we are crazy. I mean, they're not wrong. So we do eat terrible food. But there are things that the world would notice immediately if the United States lost its ground on things like free speech.
And
like
I think the thing is too, that's kind of like ingrained in Americans' DNA. We have that attitude about us. Like, you can't tell us what to do.
Mm-hmm. Part of it, I think, is we should be distrustful of the government because we understand they do lie to us. And when the government says, no, you have to trust us in what we're allowing you to see, you should be very skeptical. Some countries are not. They put full trust in belief as if it is a religion. And they say, you know, we'll take what, because you know what's best for us type of mentality. And Americans have always rejected that. And I hope they continue to reject that. Hey, government, you know what's best for me. I'm going to let you run my life. That is something I think Americans should reject. All right, I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.